Once again, we're thankful to the great God of heaven for the privilege and opportunity to spend time in fellowship. And it always does my heart good to spend time with the new Maywood family. And as I was meditating on the songs, it, you know, just touching my heart. And as was pointed out, I felt like I was in the building. But of course, we all know that as students of the word, we are the building. We just know that prayerfully we'll be in a position after things change that we'll be able to shake one another's hand, and then we'll be able to sneeze and not be threatened by that. We'll have those days once again. But as I was meditating, I was reflective of the passage that Paul said on one occasion: "Be careful for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Then he said in verse 6, "And the peace of God, which surpasses of all understanding, shall keep and guard your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus." And it's with that in mind that it comforts me. My little niece, who's 6 years old, before she goes to sleep, she has these little stuffed animals. They can't protect her. They can't defend her. All they do is they're a symbolism of comfort. And so for us as adults, when we lay down in our bed, our symbolic stuffed animals, let them be the scriptures. And I know, even if you have the physical stuffed animals, but more importantly, let us lay down and find comfort with the spiritual stuffed animals of the scriptures of Paul and the Hebrew writer and all the things that we can help us to be at peace. A lot of times it's hard to even go to sleep at night because we are rambling in our minds over the things that we have not accomplished and the things that we're afraid of that's going to come up next week, next month, next year. But the Lord is saying, look, you might as well go to sleep, because I see God is the only one. He doesn't work overtime. And I'm going to get to my lesson, but that's not even a thought. Can you think about it? You work a full shift. And most of us, y'all done got me excited. I can see you on the, y'all done already got me excited. Most of us, by the time when we get off at 5, we know we're going to come to that clock. About 15 minutes before, some of us, 45 minutes before, we start slowing down. Why? Because we know we don't want to work too hard, because we say, look, it's almost time to go. But we are thankful that God doesn't, overtime doesn't exist for God. Aren't you glad?
Preacher.
There's no such thing as overtime for God, because he works in the present, past, and the future all at the same time. But anyway, oh man, I am, that's some good singing. That's that good singing that's got me already excited, but I'm grateful. I want to express appreciation to the great leadership of the new Maywood congregation. Many of you as members know we're in unusual times, and it takes visionary leadership to maintain and adapt so that we can enjoy the privilege together of some form of fellowship. And it is so important. If anything, it means so much more now that we spend time together and see each other and see each other smile, because seeing that smile on the other end of the camera is like medicine. Because oftentimes we don't get to see those smiles a lot of times when we look in the mirror. And so when I get a chance to hear and see and feel that energy, you know, that's how God made us. We can still feel each other even if we can't feel each other. That's a beautiful thing that God allowed us to experience. And so we're certainly grateful for that. But with that being said, I want to express deep appreciation to my friend and good brother in Christ, my partner in spiritual warfare, fighting against the ultimate enemy that we all are fighting, Minister Neil Lopez. I appreciate him and his wonderful wife. They've always been a support to me, and Maywood family as a whole has been an extreme support to me. As I'm reflecting now, it's been nearly 15 years for me since I was a very young man. Now, don't worry, for our older members, I already know the deal. I'm still a baby. I'm still wet behind the ears. But for me, having that honor and privilege at the age of 19 to decide to take ministry seriously, more importantly, ministry saved my life, because it helped me understand how to become a young man. ministry afterwards, but it helped me become, and as a young African American man, I take pride in the way I conduct myself because I have mothers and grandmothers and aunts. You know, that's how Black folk do. When you see a young man or young lady proud, you become their adopted son. And you take pride in that because we represent the culture together. And so we take pride in that. I understand that banner that I carry. And so I appreciate the Maywood family. Now, with that being said, I can tell y'all was ready to worship today. Sound like y'all even might have brought your Bible. For those that may not have been accustomed to exercising in the spiritual gym, go ahead and blow the dust off of it. Let's open up the word of God this morning. And if you don't mind meeting with me in Hebrews 11 and 6, very familiar text this morning, Hebrews 11 and 6. And we thank those that already have helped us in getting our worship started this morning, the order of service. And we again thank the leadership very, very much for all the hard work they do behind the scenes, the things that that are not easy to do and to maintain. It's been what? 9 months? It's been 9 months. It's been a long time of changing. And we have to appreciate our leaders for helping us. Think about it. If we did not have the privilege and opportunity some kind of way to spend time with each other, it's already difficult enough. The fact that we can't see each other, it would be even more difficult. And that's what the enemy wants anyway. But we are still finding a way. And so with that being said, Hebrews 11 and 6. Listen as the word of God says one more time. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This morning, for a brief moment, I'd like to share with us a thought from the subject being convinced and convicted. Again, being convinced and convicted. With the theme of developing a faith that believes in God and his promises. Now, as I was meditating on this particular text here, I was thinking about the idea of a vision diagnosis, because as you know, Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so I was thinking about that concept of vision diagnosis and the idea of having your own glasses, not the ones you have in your bathroom, in your case, next to your nightstand and your remote, but not those glasses, but the other glasses that we can choose to put on every day. And the idea is that we don't want to leave home without it. So dealing with that thought first, and again, if you would just for a moment, rest your attention on this brief yet intriguing verse as I read quickly for you, just to repeat. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here we are today looking at a powerful passage packed with what I would feel are profound precepts all within one verse. If this were a health supplement, it would be the kind that's highly concentrated, where even though it comes in a small bottle, it packs a powerful dose of truth for our souls. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the Texas, Houston area. And oftentimes when my mother would be concerned about my health, it wasn't that we were sick. She was concerned about proactively preserving our health. And a lot of times, as young kids, most kids don't like taking medicine, especially when you take the medicine that doesn't taste good. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there was a little clear gelatin looking pill called a cod liver oil pill. Anybody familiar with that? And the cod liver oil pill, my mother could give the best sales pitch in the world, but there was no way she could convince me that nasty, disgusting pill was going to help me. And the reason being because it was so highly concentrated with nutrients that were good for me. But if you accidentally bit into it, my Lord. It was very, very unpleasant. That's what this text is. It is highly concentrated with spiritual nutrients for us that sometimes we don't like taking. You say, well, oh, I don't like taking pills. What you wanna let your health be compromised? You say, well, you know, can we get something that tastes a little sweeter? Hold up. If you beyond the age of 8 years old and up, you're gonna have to learn to take some. They say the things that usually taste the less pleasant are usually the best for us, which means it's easier to, you know, if supplements taste like Starburst, some of us would take it four times, five times a day. If most supplements that would save our lives taste like Skittles, we would be taking it every day. But that's just not how things works, unfortunately. And so looking at this powerful passage, we see that after the Hebrew writer takes the time out to define what faith is in verse one of that same chapter, he then draws a line in the sand by suggesting that we don't even have a chance of pleasing God if we are on the wrong vision plan. He said, what do you mean by that, brother preacher? Well, here's the thing. We can't spend most of our time wearing carnal glasses. We can't spend most of our time wearing carnal glasses and expect to see spiritual blessings. Get this. I didn't say get spiritual blessings. You can't even see them. Why? Because you're on the wrong vision plan. And oftentimes you miss out on it. So a person may have 20/20 vision. You grew up since a baby eating carrots and all the stuff to help your eyes. But it makes no sense to have 20/20 vision and still spend most of our lives not even seeing the power of God in our lives. You've used your eyes, but you didn't use your eyes. That'll make sense on the way home. Well, I forgot you're already on the way. You're already that'll make sense on your way from where you are now back to the living room and to the kitchen. And so you've made good use of your eyes, but you have not made good use of your eyes. Question is, how many times have you tried to make God bless you on your terms rather than by faith? Here's an even more perplexing question, because if you notice in the text in verse six, it's a two part. The second part is more perplexing. Why would anybody even spend their time trying to please a God they don't even trust? Why, in what world would that even make sense? Why would you spend time trying to please a God you don't even trust? Notice the dilemma the Hebrews writer presents. He suggests a person is seeking validation for believing in God, but the problem is their faith tank is on empty. You see, many of us, we have been left stuck on the side of the road of life because we never took the time to refuel our faith in God. Unfortunately, I wish I could say that after you get baptized in Christ, that you get the Tesla of faith where you just never have to go to the gas station and you just got this infinite. See, even when you buy a device, some kind of toy, and you get a pack of batteries that come with it, guess what? You will use that toy knowing that eventually you have to replace the batteries. And some of us get our faith so low as if we don't expect to have to refuel. Even the appliances of life tell you that without any continuous use of power, it will run out. And some of us are using the memories and the conquests and the victories of 10 years ago. I've got news for you. Those batteries are old. And here you are, try this out. Try getting stuck on the side of the road and have somebody pull over to help you. And you say, well, I don't know why I'm stuck on the side of the road. I put gas in it 3 weeks ago. Tell me, I'm curious. Tell me the response that they give you. They're going to tell you, what does it matter? Because that gas already ran out. We cannot rely on the fuel of yesteryear. We have to continue to refuel our faith in God. That's not because of God. I've got news for you. It's because of us. Because guess what? Our daily lives are competing with the flesh and the spirit. And I wish I could say that there was a nutritional pill you could take that would cure our health from all diseases and all forms of malice in our lives, but it doesn't exist. We have to choose daily to live for God. And that's the bottom line. And so notice what the Hebrew writer says. He says, look, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. Many of us have been left stuck on the side of the road because of this. Listen, if we are honest with ourselves, sometimes we treat God. Now, I'll say this because y'all are good folk. Those other folk, you know, back out here in Dallas, you know, we're struggling out here. Pray for us. But not y'all. But these other folks, sometimes we treat God as if he's like a New Year's resolution. Because I know it's coming around the corner. We finna get out. We finna make our list. We finna start praying. We finna get our, you know, get our mindset ready. And all those things, because the new year is coming, prayerfully, if the Lord will. And so we treat God like a New Year's resolution. What do you mean by that? Well, in the beginning of the year, we will make claims to go to the gym every week. You hadn't been to the gym in 10 months. You said, oh, well, now, because it's January, but now you're going to go to the gym every week now. Bless your heart. God bless you, I say to you. And it feels exciting, but after 3 weeks go by and you haven't received the term, it's a biological a term that we call accomplishment feedback, where you set your goals, you've got your mindset on what you want to accomplish, and you say, well, I want to lose X amount of pounds, and you look up and 3 weeks have gone by and it's fluctuated. You went from losing 5 and then you gained 6, and you say, well, it doesn't seem like it's working. You say, well, I'll get to it later. And before you know it, you haven't received enough accomplishment feedback that your efforts begin to dwindle away. And so many of us have given up on our relationships, our jobs, our children, and even our health, all because we couldn't see enough progress. Well, I want to suggest to you today that perhaps you are wearing the wrong glasses. Perhaps you are wearing the wrong glasses. You see, there may be someone here today who came looking for a new prescription in life. I've got news for you. I've got some good news for you today that Jesus, as far as I know, he is the best optometrist you will ever meet, because his vision plan is better than 2020. Now, I'm not saying you don't keep going to Walmart and stop by and see your doctor's office. Keep doing that. But as far as the vision plan for faith, there is no better vision plan. You say, Brother Powell, do I need to stop wearing my glasses? No, 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 that's not what I'm saying. Wear your glasses, but start wearing your glasses, is what I'm saying. Keep wearing your glasses and start wearing your other glasses, is what I'm saying. You see, we serve a God who can do the impossible in your life. All that he asks is for us to open our eyes to see. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 37 and 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See, some of us wanted to sit at the negotiation table with God and say, you know what, why don't you go ahead and bring it to pass, and then I'll trust in you. Well, I've got news for you. God doesn't owe you anything. Not in that sense. Now, of course, he does things for us out of love, but you don't get to negotiate with God. Yeah, I know you're good at sales, but God already knows your sales pitch before you even sit down. You don't get to say, you know what, God, I was sinking. Hold, that's your problem. Imagine you being 5 years old and it's bedtime. I'm going to use my niece for example. Imagine my niece, 6 years old, and I say, you know what, boo-boo, it's bath and bedtime. She normally is in her playroom watching TV. And I say, you know what, boo-boo, it's bath and bedtime. Let's go ahead and get started. And I've got news for you. I don't know how it would be in your house, but my niece lives with me. So I cover her right now as the man of the house. And she says, you know what, uncle, I've been thinking. Guess what? She wouldn't make it any further. Because that right there was it wouldn't work for my brain. Because I know where she's going. You know what, uncle, I've been thinking, how about I get an extra 30 minutes? You know what? See, in her terms, I know what she likes. I'm gonna have to take some things away. I said, you know what? We're not doing story time. And if we do it, we're not gonna read the books you want to read. And you keep acting up, we're gonna take away story time. Sometimes God has to do us like that. You say, you know what, God? I've been thinking. Oh, you've been thinking. How about this? How about I demote you on your job? I've been thinking, God. Well, you know what? How about I take away that bonus that you've been looking for? But I put in the overtime. How about I work it out in a way to where you get the bonus, but you don't get the bonus? Because now that bonus you got has to go to something you wasn't planning for. Oh, you know what, God, I've been thinking. How about I step out the room and allow you to work out the relationship on your own? You know, God, I've been thinking. How about this? How about I stop protecting you while you're driving on the freeway? And avoiding all the dangers that you see or don't see in your life. You know what, God, I've been thinking, how about I start reducing the things and pleasures and privileges that I've been giving you? And then you do like Job at the end of the arguments that he was having and his three friends. He said, I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke too much too soon. God has to say, you know what? That's your problem. You've been doing more thinking than seeing. Some of us, it's time for a new vision plan. It's time for a new vision plan. Some of us need to do less thinking and do more praying. Some of us need to do less thinking and do more seeing. Because oftentimes when we see, if you ever argue with somebody, and I know some good folks here in New Maywood, y'all don't argue. You know, y'all have great, great communication with relationships and fellowship, et cetera. But oftentimes when you're spending time arguing, it's very difficult to hear, especially if someone has said something to you that you don't like. A lot of times, even if it's true, it sets us in a defense. Because we stop being in receive mode and we're on give. I want to give back to you what I want you to hear. And that works with your friends. That works with your spouse. Most times it's not going to work. But you think it works with your spouse. But I guarantee you it does not work with our God. And that's what happened with Job. He started arguing with his friends. And then his finger went from pointing horizontally to pointing vertically. And when you start doing that, it's just like that six-year-old young child at the time of bath and bedtime. I say, hey, it's time for bath and bed. And my niece starts to say, you know what, uncle, I've been thinking. And as unusual, unnatural as that sounds, that's how we approach God sometimes. Because when you have faith in God, you really don't have a desire to negotiate with him. You are extremely grateful. You know why you're grateful? Because you can see his power. If anything, it gives you comfort in knowing that he's got it under control. And it may not be to your liking, but you know he has it under control. And so we can see that it's more beneficial for us if we change our prescription plan. God is saying, don't define our relationship by what you can see with your natural eye, but based upon my vision plan. Therefore, the next time someone sees you enduring the adversity in your life and they inquire about how is it that you're making it through all this, it seems a little bit different. You seem like you're handling things a little bit better in life. What is it that's going on? You can tell them, I'm on a new vision plan. Say, I'm on a new vision plan. Don't we serve an amazing God? And finally, talking about a God worth seeking. I've got news for us that we need to be in it for the long haul, not the short term. So then after establishing the proper spiritual glasses, the Hebrews writer challenges us further by saying, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, the main word that presents us with a challenge in this Christian journey is diligence. It's very easy to gloss over that. You know, this is a text that we've heard and quoted many a time. There may be someone here today who ordered what you call a trial version of God. You say, Brother Powell, what are you talking about? Some of us have ordered a trial version of God, but we canceled the subscription after the first week. Yeah, I know I'm down your street I'm got my feet on your coffee table. Don't mind me. My socks are clean. I don't have holes in my socks. Just get comfortable for a second. Some of us have treated God and we've gotten a trial version of God, but we canceled the subscription after the first week. And some of us get real smart and some of us treat God like the subscription service that we never intended to pay for. We just wanted to sample God within the short time period because we heard of what he can do. Yeah. Some of us get real sick, real slick. We call the service provider for the cable or internet. And they say, you know, we got a 30-day free trial. And some of us get real smart. We order the service because it's free at that moment. And guess what we do? We indulge on all the services. We using up the internet every day and we set our calendar. Some of us get real slick with it. And on the 29th day, you call and say, you know what? I tried the service, but you know, it just ain't working for me. Really? You figure that out on the 29th day, huh? It took you 29 days, really? And some of us, and what happens is we develop an excuse and say, you know what, I tried that God thing. But if you're honest, you never intended to go the long haul in the first place. You just wanted to use him enough to say it didn't work. I said, I'm getting comfortable on your coffee table. I'm not going to take my socks off, though. I'm here to let us know that God sees that. And he knows just because you ordered the subscription, he knows whether or not you intend to pay through faithfulness and through actually trying to use his vision plan. Some of us just wanted to sample God within a short time period because of what we heard he can do. But all the while, we planned on suspending the account. Jesus says, I didn't come all the way from heaven's bliss, live on a sinful earth, die for an ungrateful people, get up from the grave, just so you could treat me like a Netflix subscription. That's not why he did this. In other words, the black folk version, don't play with me. Just like how you would let your adolescent child look, no. That's not how we're going to do this. That's not how it's going to work. And if you're like me growing up, sometimes my mother would say to me, is boy, you're not running nothing but your mouth. And my mom would have all these metaphors like how she could knock my mouth back into my throat. I'm like, how are you going to do that? but what the point is that there comes a point where we have to realize that God is in control and that it's time out for games. How are we, who are we to think that we can subscribe to God and he don't really know our intention? Just so you can say, you know what? I've developed an excuse so I can go back to what I really wanted to do. I've tried it and it didn't work. No, it does work. You didn't work. Let's be honest. Sometimes we treat God like a subscription plan that we never intend to use. God says, I'm here today to validate your faith in me, but you don't get to control the time frame of my power. That's not how this works. You don't know what God had planned for you on day 31. He just needed to see, were you really going to hold out long enough for that first invoice to come in? Now, invoice may be that first level of adversity that you weren't prepared for. See, some of us, we cancel on day 29 because we didn't get what he had planned for us because we didn't want to wait till the 31st or the first of that following month. Because God knows if he keeps giving to you within the trial period what you really don't want and don't deserve, he knows you won't do anything but keep using him. And God is not to be used in that way. God is not our genie. He is not our ATM. He is our creator. He is our master. He is everything that we want and more. He just asks for us to develop a better vision plan. Listen, some of us want God to be diligent in giving out the rewards without us being diligent in our faith and service to him. You see, that's how it works, right? Be diligent, Lord. Be diligent about what I need. But you know, I'll get to that next week. You know, it's hard. Oh, but it's not hard for you to ask him to cover the light bill and to help you find, you know, your boo, or to find all the things, the next promotion on your job. You want God to be diligent in those things. But yet it's difficult for us to be diligent for him. And I've got news for you. You cannot outwork God. I would say today, try him and be diligent. And what you will find is that God not only will outwork you in blessing you, but he'll do it continuously. Because he's paying attention to your intent and your level of trust. Because you can't really pay God back. God is looking for certain ingredients within you. Not to say that now you deserve it, but that you won't take him for granted. And so we got to be diligent about serving him as well. See, I don't know about you, but I've seen some things happen in my life that can only make sense through the lens of faith. And when I consider the fact that I was lost in sin, confused without a cause, and destitute without direction, I realized I needed a new vision plan. I needed a new vision plan for my life. And then that's when I met Jesus. I was excited to find out that the vision package, not only was it available, but it was already paid for, y'all. It was already paid for by his own blood shed on Calvary. And when I consider these things, I don't need further evidence. I'm already convinced and convicted to serve the Lord. The question on the table for us today is, are you convinced in his vision plan for you today? In closing, God doesn't have to prove anything to us in order to be worthy of our trust and belief. Rather, we should learn to trust and have faith in him and allow that to propel us into diligent servitude. In no uncertain terms, the Hebrews writer suggested if we lack the confidence in God's ability to keep his promises, then there is no purpose in coming to him. There is someone here today who is tired of trying God once or twice a year. You see, because there's going to come a time when the subscriptions are going to run out. There aren't going to be any more coupons. There won't be any more customer service lines to call in, because on that day, there will come a time where we have to answer to the Father as to how we actually treated him and how we actually chose to seek and to serve him. And see, some of us are here today and, you know, we're tired of being on the side of the road of life, and you've been driving with the wrong fuel. And I encourage you today, if you're not a child of God, that we encourage you to become one. Take advantage of the favor and mercy of God. Aren't you tired of trying to figure things out, and you realize that even when you figure things out, you don't ever really figure it out? Because when you solve one problem, it's funny how life works. You solve one problem and then 10 more pop up. It's designed for us to trust in a God who doesn't operate in our logic. He doesn't have to. And so if you're here today and you're not a child of God, you come by faith, believing in God, repenting of your sins, confessing the sweetest name upon mortal tongue, and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Or maybe you need prayer and you want to respond. Maybe this message has touched your life and you want to be more diligent. You want to do this thing with God more than on a trial run basis. Whatever your desire is, you have the opportunity to respond as we open the floor up to the leadership at this time and allow you to respond. Will you do?